Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Thank you all so much. And appreciate the opportunity to be here today. And praying for that. That's a great need there in this part of the country. When I went to Bible college, every month I would go down to our mission, local mission there, and preach. And told them, put my name on the, if you ever need a preacher, call me. Of course, I was working third shift, taking 21 hours a semester. And so a lot of times, whether in the body or out of the body, God knoweth. And they would call at a weird time when I was trying to sleep a little bit before I had to go back to work. Amen. So I have no idea what I preached to those poor men at that mission. Amen. But it's a good training ground, and I appreciate the opportunity. It is a joy to be here, and I do not take it lightly. And I'm thankful for Pastor Chapel, Brother Getch. Thank you for the opportunity. Dr. R and all the staff and faculty are just tremendous friends. Two of my sons came to college here, and we have 11 on staff at our place from West Coast. And so it's an honor. And everyone that's come through this place, man, they're doing a great job. And we praise the Lord for that. I know it's finals, so go ahead and put your notes in your Bible and act like you're listening to me, but study a little bit, all right? But anyway, I know how that goes. Praise the Lord. And it's good to be here. Let's go ahead and get into the Word a little bit. Genesis, if you would. And we're going to read through Revelation chapter 20. I'm just kidding. Genesis 25. You'll catch it about halfway through. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. And I used to write all my outlines. One, I used to keep them in my Bibles. I'd write them in my Bibles. And so when I'd go preach somewhere, you'd have to have a suitcase just for the Bibles, because that message is in that Bible, and then that one's in that Bible. And God help, it was like toting around a fifth grader. And I know a lot of preachers may not like technology. I love it. Like, I have like 10 years of pastoring is right there. Praise the Lord. However, I got me what my family calls a Jesus spanking the other day. And Sunday morning, the choir's done singing, and boy, it was good. They were doing a great job. And special music, people already at the altar. I feel like, man, I don't even have to preach. So I came up to begin the message. Well, a brother always takes my Bible, not my brother, a brother in the church always takes my Bible and my iPad and puts it in the pulpit for me. And man, I pulled that out. And just like this, I said, take your Bibles and turn. And when I opened up my iPad, all I saw was a little apple. Yeah. And it was uploading. And it had uploaded that much of what that was left. And it said you have an hour and 5 minutes remaining. And I thought, even so, come quickly. Amen. Just like a partial rapture. Take me out, leave everyone else, that's fine. And oh my goodness. So what do you do? Hey, preachers, what do you do? Well, you panic, and then you say, let's sing it again. That was a great song, and it really touched my heart. And then you call on a brother to pray. And so I've got my phone out, and I'm like, man, the pages has got to be on there. And I found it. Of course, it's that size, and I can't see it. And so I'm like, Lord, I put about 6 to 8 hours each message in prep time, and I know people can't believe it, but I really do. And so I'm thinking, I got to remember something about this. And we're preaching through the life of Abraham, and I'm going to give you what I finished out Sunday morning with our folks. Had 20 messages on his life. And but thank God, in the middle of my prayer, and I was like, let's pray one more time, shall we? And I'm telling you, y'all can say what you want to, but God answered my prayer that morning, because when I looked down, there was my outline smiling at me, amen. And I was just like, woo! And they thought I turned half Pentecostal. I could care less what tongue you were speaking in, amen. Ooh, all right, now that I've messed up all the theology, Genesis 25, and when I get nervous, I got to do something to break the ice. Here we go. Keep your Bibles open there. We're going to preach through this text with the help of God, but I'm going to read one verse to help get us started, and then we will look through this text. But Genesis chapter 25, let's look at verse number 8. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Our Heavenly Father, I sure do love you, and I thank you, Lord, for what we've already heard in the good singing. Thank you for that congregational singing. I love to hear God's people sing. Thank you for that wonderful special. Thank you for this place. And Holy Spirit of God, guide my heart and my mind. I don't want to hurt or hinder anything. And I just want to be a blessing. And I sure do love you. I remember sitting exactly At the same time, these students are going through finals, and some are about to graduate. Some, this is their first semester. God, I just want to be a help. Thank you for all the staff, faculty, and their labor of love. Help us now. Be with Jenny and the kids and the family back at the house. In your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Abraham is a tremendous study. And I don't know about you, I love studying people in the Bible. And it makes me very thankful that I'm not in the Bible. Anybody with me? Amen. How would you like to be in the Bible and have everybody talk about you every day? Man, poor David. I don't know what we're allowed to hear when we're in heaven, but I imagine David saying, really? You're going, really? Okay, yeah, wait till you get up here. That's why I'm nice to Peter. I love Peter. He's my favorite disciple, but man, the dude chops ears off and curses at people, and you might want to be kind. But Abraham is a tremendous story, and we meet Abraham as he is 75 years of age. He's a pagan worshiper. He's living in a land where they're not trusting God. They're not worshiping God. He's worshiping all these false gods. And the God calls him out. And 75 years of age, I know I'm speaking primarily to younger adults that are getting ready, and you've got life and you think, man, I'm ready to roll. But let me encourage everybody, it's never too late to start serving God. You're 75, and Abraham taught us when God calls, you move. He was worshiping gods that were not speaking back to him, and he met the God that spoke to him. And Abraham was called to leave his region, to call to leave his race and his religion, to leave everything behind to follow a God he's never met, to follow a God I know nothing about, to follow a God, though, that, again, is different from all these little g gods. He's called out to me. I can see Abraham saying, I've called out to these that have never responded. And as Hagar said at one time, thou God seest me. Isn't it a humbling thing to think that God would want us? Isn't it a humbling thing to think that God would do anything with us? Earlier this month, I spent 10 days over in India and preached in many, many places. And the most humbling thing in the world is when you're preaching in churches that don't have windows, and when it's 109 degrees, you're looking for any breeze to come through. Amen. And I know some guys get on me sometimes, you preach without a tie. Well, there I preach without shoes. Amen. God help, they kicked him off at the door, and I thought, well, went in Rome, amen. And then I got to tell you this, though, I don't know how your mind works. I'm walking down, like, at this first church I'm preaching, Brother Weaver, and I thought, do I have a hole in my sock? Is anybody, like, I don't know how prideful you are. I'm very prideful. Y'all pray for me. And I got down, sat in the front row, man, I told Jenny, I was like, I'm looking at my sock, okay, that one's good, and that one's good. I mean, I couldn't get that out of my mind. But to go and preach to people that are just thankful to be believers, to talk to a man, and he says, hey, I'm going to have you speak at my church, and then we'll go speak at my other church, and then tomorrow we're going to speak at my other church. And I said, time out, how many churches do you have? He said, well, I only have four right now. He said, how many do you have? I said, that's none of your business. Amen. Abraham is called by God, and God is calling him. And I don't know how it affects you, and I'm sure it touches your heart. That's why you're here training and in ministry now. But it's an unbelievable thing to think that God would call me. We watch Abraham as he begins his journey, and we see Abraham all the way through. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about how that he buried his wife, Sarah. Sarah and Abraham were married for 70 years. For 70 years, and I don't think Sarah gets enough credit, for 70 years, she had to follow a man that claims he's following God. For 70 years, she had to put up with Abraham when Abraham wasn't doing right. There's times he did well. There's other times as they're going into a place he shouldn't have been going into, he said, hey, baby, do me a favor. If anybody asks, you're my sister. Boy, that helps a marriage. And evidently, and let's be patient with Abraham, because even though you're walking in faith, there's times you'll struggle with your faith. While you're here at college and God will answer a prayer, there'll be the very next hour you'll think, God, are you even listening? And while Abraham, God had promised him, you're going to have a son. You remember that he had not had his son yet. And he just didn't do that one time. There are many times he told her, hey, you're my sister. because you're like good looking and somebody's going to kill me. But if he really understood that God was going to fulfill his promise, and so far I don't have a son, which tells me nobody can kill me. I mean, I've got a bullet. Well, they didn't have bullets. I got an arrow-proof vest. I mean, he could have walked into Egypt and said, "Hey, y'all, look over here. This is Sarah. She's good looking, and she's my wife. Any questions?" God had his hand of protection on him. But as he's walking in faith, he had some struggles, he had some doubts. And Sarah, boy, I commend her. For 70 years, she followed her man for 70 years. When he told her, "Would you behave as a good wife while I misbehave as a bad husband?" She stayed faithful, and for 70 years, she watched him do things that God told him to do. And she simply went with her man. What a great lady. He buries her, and he goes to the sons of Heth, as you know the story, and he buys a piece of ground, and they sell him that ground, and he has a good testimony with them. Understand that as we go through our walk of faith, there are going to be times where there's great success. Anybody ever have an answer to prayer? And man, you're like walking on water. Anybody pray and God is busy with someone else? Anybody struggle because, "God, did you forget you put me here?" Understand, if we're not careful in America, we get the wrong idea that everything is supposed to be great. There's only supposed to be success in our life. But understand, it is good for us to know how to handle success. It's very wise. All the things you're learning here are phenomenal and wonderful. Two of my sons came through this college. I thank God for this place. But let me help you with something. Learn how to handle success. When your legs are healthy and you're walking and you have strength, learn how to walk with God. When your mind is clear and you have the ability to think and to reason and to understand, learn how to memorize Scripture. When your body is strong and you're healthy, learn how to preach that gospel. Learn how to live for God. While your knees are good, learn how to bend and pray and walk with God. Success in life is so important. And if we're not careful, we get the wrong idea that because we're successful today means I'm going to be successful every day. How many know that one day you'll do well and one day, that didn't turn out good? There's going to be failure in life. I'm not a fan of failure. I hate losing. Like, I hate losing. Like, help me. And then you come out here for tournaments or just playing throughout the year, and you have two Christian schools, and I've always wondered this. They're both in their circles praying. "Oh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And then we're over here praying, "Oh, God, we hate them." We'll shake their hands afterwards, but right now we're going to fight the good fight. I mean, isn't it crazy? And there's going to be times when failure happens, but do not feel that that's what your life is going to be. And y'all pray for me, but I have issues with the Eeyore Baptist. There's some people you don't ask, "How are you doing today?" because I don't have 3 days to listen to it. Those people, I just lie and say, "Good to see you," and ask God to forgive me for lying. I'm going to confess my faults one to another so you can enjoy it. Amen. I mean, there's just some people, hey, man, every Sunday they won't let me know everything that went wrong. I mean, there's some guys I'm dodging every time. "Oh, it ain't going down that hallway. Mm-mm. Hey, pastor, just so you know, 5 more left. They don't like you. That was bad last week. Oh, the air condition broke. Oh, this didn't happen. This didn't work. Your wife ain't coming to church." I mean, it's bad. Hey, let me tell you something. Failure's going to happen. Learn how to learn from it. Learn how to get back up. And Abraham teaches us in his whole life as we watch him focus on God. And I thank God for this man because, yes, he had some crazy steps. And, yes, he had some unwise steps. And you remember when he walked into Egypt? I disagree with that move. But he was a businessman, and he's still new in the faith, and there was a great famine, and he knows how to make up for loss. And so he says, "Listen, we'll just go in here. I know how to make the money. I know what I'm doing. I'll get us out of debt. I'll help us out a little bit, and then we'll get out." You have to be careful what you see. And in the eyes of man, this makes sense, but it may not be the walk God has for us to do. And you know the story when he left there. And, oh, isn't this a blessing that God still blesses us regardless of us? Isn't it interesting that when Abraham left Egypt, he leaves with more than what he came with? And he was wrong for going in there. He's acting unwisely while he's there. I mean, he is doing bad things. But God gave his word, and God will always keep his word. And I'm so thankful I've got a God that will help me even when I don't deserve it. And he's going to bless me when I do not deserve the blessings. I praise God for that kind of God. Aren't you glad you have a faithful God? Amen. His mercies are new every day when I'm giving people just a little bit of mercy. I hope you'll forgive me. Well, I don't know if I can let that go. You did me wrong. So you're going to get a little mercy. And then I run to God and throw 1 John 1:9 in his face and say, I need a truckload of mercy. Boy, I'm glad God doesn't look at me and say, I'm just going to give you a little mercy right now. Come back tomorrow. No, and we're watching Abraham as he makes some unique steps. And boy, doesn't he take some great steps of faith. Remember when he took his son Isaac and said, come on, young man. I don't think he was a teen. I think he's probably in his 30s. And a great picture of Christ. And I can see this young man strong enough to whoop the old man, but yet has enough love and respect, he follows his dad. Now, I don't think Abraham told Sarah what was going on. I mean, what decent mama's going, hey, baby, I'm going to go kill our boy, and I'll be back in a few days. I mean, I've told my wife that many times when our kids were growing up. Baby, I'm gonna kill the boy. And there's sometimes she looked at me and said, go kill the boy. Amen. And that's why I told him, I know y'all, we have three sons, but there's two you didn't meet. I took them to the mount. They didn't come back. Amen. So I don't think Abraham sat Sarah down and said, Sarah, I need to tell you what God told me. I think he just said, hey, we're going on a trip. And God help, I hope we're coming back. But Abraham walks up. Can you imagine, though, and y'all forgive me, this ain't in the Bible, so don't look for it. But can you imagine, in my mind, I can see Isaac coming back and sitting down and say, Mama, you need to talk to him. What happened? Where'd y'all go? Did you have fun? No, we didn't have fun. The man strapped me down, put me on wood, it took three angels to stop him. Amen. I doubt Isaac ever went on a fishing trip with his daddy again. Hey, boy, get in the chariot. I'm not riding with you. I'm riding with Mama. Amen. You don't have a car seat. I'm only 30. We're supposed to be in car seats still. We're 35. Amen. Oh, God help. Stay focused, God. Here we go. But what a blessing that when you're walking by faith, as Abraham and Isaac are walking up one side of that mount with questions, God's coming up the other side with the answers. There's a lot of things we may not see in our walk of faith. But now we see Abraham, 175 years of age. He's old. He's prosperous. He's been blessed. And according to Scripture, everyone around him is being blessed. We get on to Lot a lot of times, but if I'm Lot, I'm hanging out with Uncle Abe too. His credit card works. I mean, he is paying the bill. Every time we go out to eat, Uncle Abe is with us. And my ministry's growing because his is. And you know that story. Everyone around them is being blessed. And Abraham has gone all this way, and now it's time for Abraham to die. Are you ready? He's 175. The Bible says full of days, full of life, a good old age. And if I can just simply walk you through a few things this afternoon. Number one, notice the calling of Abraham. It's such a humbling thing, as I mentioned earlier, but to think that God would call us, and I don't know what it is, what the story is in your life. I don't know, maybe if you were by yourself just walking with the Lord, or maybe you were at a youth camp, or maybe you're in a Bible conference, or whatever God used to get a hold of you. I can remember as a 15-year-old boy, God had been working on my heart, and I wasn't fighting God. I just wanted to make sure, God, if you want me now, are you sure what you're getting? I don't, God is not going to be good for you. But I'm happy to do whatever you want. And it was at a meeting in our church. I was running a TV camera in the back of our auditorium. Brother Johnny Pope preaching a wonderful message called Jesus is Wonderful. His daddy had just died and stepped into glory. And that night, they had a beautiful honoring for his father and his work for the Lord. And Brother Johnny got so excited, man, about preaching. And he was hitting on that point about the heel crushing the head of the serpent. And he went running all over the platform, jumping up in the air and crushed the head of the serpent. And I'm sitting there trying to follow him with the camera. And I thought, man, that camera's shaking like a machine gun.
And then, brother, choir rail, kind of like this, he is walking that rail, and he almost jumped into our baptistry. And I mean, I remember I had a headset, and I just took it, threw it down, and I just headed to the altar, and I said, God, if you want me, you got me. I'll be in this thing until you put me out. Let me tell you something. Isn't it a great thing to know that God called you, and God put that on your heart? So when you have success in life, and the devil starts luring you away to do something else, always remember, God is the one that puts you here, and God is the one that put that in your life. Young lady, young man, God puts you here. And when there's failures, you're going to have to remember, God, you called me. And God, I'm trusting you. The calling of Abraham. I see a walk of faith. One of the clearest truths that we see in Abraham's life is how this man walked by faith. A walk is that. He's not running by faith. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. It's not an event faith. Many believers are event faith people. It's leadership conference to leadership conference. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to live by faith. It ought to be how we roll. It's what we do. It's on Monday. It's on Tuesday. It's on Wednesday. It's whether we're at a secular job or we're behind a pulpit or we're preaching on the street. We ought to live by faith. People ought to know that we're believers. People ought to know that we're saved, and this walk of faith. And yes, he had a few steps that I would have disagreed with, but the majority of his steps are faith steps. And aren't you thankful that we have a God that says you can mess up a lot if you ever start walking by faith? I'm putting you in Hebrews 11. Rahab the, what was her last name? Harlot. And yet God said, I'm putting you in that hall of faith. Abraham, we could pick apart a lot of things, but since he walked by faith, Hebrews 11:8 reminds us, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, I love what he did, went. Abraham wasn't at the youth conference, and we had to sing the invitation again, and sing it again. Well, I got one more sad story. Oh, this point will get him. All Abraham needed to know was, God, where do you want me to go? Over there. You got it. And can't you see the critics? Aren't you going to ask him why? No, it's where God wants. That's where I'm going. Aren't you going to ask him, well, what do I get when I get there? Doesn't matter. That's where God wants me to go. That's where I'm going. Abraham, by faith, when he was called, he went. Because we're reminded in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. A walk of faith. I want to say this. It's a walk of faithfulness. The calling that was on Abraham, it was a walk of faith. It was a walk of faithfulness in verse number 9, Hebrews 11:9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. Faithfulness. He's a stranger. He's walking through this place, and he's looking for a city. Aren't you thankful this isn't heaven? Man, last week I was out soul winning and knocking on some doors, and a fellow came to the door. Of course, introduced myself, told him who I was and all that mess, and said, hey, before I go, let me ask you a question. Heaven or hell, what do you think? He said, oh, I'm living my heaven. I said, really? So heaven is Durham, North Carolina? Interesting. I love Durham, North Carolina. I mean, I don't want to live anywhere else. I said, but I don't think this is heaven, man. Because I've been in some parts of Durham that it's a bad part of heaven. Like, I didn't know they sold drugs in heaven. Y'all pray for us, amen. I said, heaven? I said, hey, can I show you something? He said, what you got? Started going through the scripture a little bit, and about 20 minutes later, he had realized, man, this isn't heaven, and he realized there's a horrible place called hell, and by the time we were finished, he had called his wife from the back of the house, and we're standing there together, man, they're praying, accepting Christ as their Savior. There's nothing sweeter than to know heaven. This isn't heaven, man. We're just pilgrims here. We're just sojourning. We don't fit in. We shouldn't fit in. I don't want to look like the world. I don't want to feel like the world. I don't want to feel comfortable where I'm at. I tell you, I can't wait to get home. I have a mama that just celebrated her graduation service into heaven. I've got a daughter in heaven. I've got family there and loved ones there. I'm telling you, heaven's real, and I want to go to heaven tired. I want to go to heaven wore out. I want to go to heaven giving everything I have, and I know you do as well. How do we do it, Pastor? Walk by faith. The calling of Abraham, it was a walk of faith. It was a walk of faithfulness. Can I say this? It was a walk of favor. It was a walk of favor. Is this water for, can I drink this? Uh-oh. Did somebody already open this? There was no clicking. Was it already open, like for me? He don't know. I'm going to leave it right there. Amen. Because I know what I did to some preachers as a child, and I'm going to reap what I sow. Praise God.
Let's try this one. There you go. Amen. It's not that I don't trust people. I have an issue with trust. Praise the Lord. It's a walk of favor. Abraham had God's favor on his life. Again, be careful not to assume favor means everything's going to be good. Because I remember a young man in the scripture, Joseph. Y'all remember him, Old Testament? Remember Joseph? Dad said, go check on your brothers. Remember Joseph says goodbye to his daddy thinking I'm going to be gone for about 3 days. 22 years later. But the Lord was with him. It's a great ending of the story, but God put him through some stuff. God put him in the spiritual oven. God said, there's some things I got to put in your life, and that's still the favor of God. When things are put into us, and I don't care for that. I don't like that. That's not what I want. God says, hey, whoa, 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 now I'm putting this in you. I need this in you. And Abraham, though, he did have God's favor on his life, and many times we will be shocked. Why are you blessing me? Why am I even saved? Why did I get the gospel? Who am I to deserve heaven and a chance to skip hell? And then on top of that, in Genesis 12, you know the verses where he said, hey, Abraham, I'll bless everyone that'll bless you. And I'll curse everyone that'll curse you. My favor is going to be on your life. The call of Abraham. Can I give you this quickly? The commitment of Abraham. The commitment of Abraham. Thank God that you're here. Thank God that you have yielded to the call of God. And whatever God's will is, as I enjoyed being at the banquet last night for the seniors from Liberty Baptist School, and just want to encourage them that it doesn't matter where God's will takes you, as long as it's God's will, you'll enjoy serving God. And the toughest decision you'll make is what you're making right now in ministry is right versus right. Right versus wrong is so easy. That's a no-brainer. Hey, girl, if he's lost, he's not even on the list. Okay? I have a very long list, but I tell our girls at Liberty all the time, the first thing on the list is he saved? Is he what?
Saved.
Saved. Number two, does he have savings? Unless you want to go to your job, amen, while he drives your car and stays in your apartment and spends your money, amen. So the old boy, any old boy asks you out for a date, say, give me your wallet. I want to see how much cash you got. Okay. Go ahead, but hey. We shouldn't be shocked that God blessed this man. His commitment. The commitment of Abraham to stay the course. The commitment of Abraham. And I'm not a good believer. I'm not a good Christian. But I'll tell you what. When I die, I want my wife. I want my children. And I want now my grandchildren to know he loved the Lord. Man. And they know I'm not perfect. Call them. I'll give you their numbers. My wife lives with me. She knows I'm not perfect. They know it. Hey, but why in the world would you get up and preach one thing and live another? I'm going to tell you something. They do know I love the Lord. They do know that book's real. They do know we're going to have fun in church. They do know we're going to enjoy the Christian life. Oh, yeah. On Sunday morning, our folks know. I tell them, anybody walking on Sunday morning, they want to come to church. If you're lost and walking the streets on Sunday morning, you have a sad life. Am I right? Think about it. Because if you're lost, you should have been partying on Saturday night. Which means if you're walking sober on Sunday morning, you ain't got no friends. That's a sad life. So I'm going to find you, amen, every Sunday morning. When I'm done picking up folks I picked up, I just ride down Guest Road. And anybody walking, I just, if it's a lady, I don't. But men that are walking, let me clarify some things. And when I see men, I'll pull up, hey, sir, you need church. And you need a friend. Get in the car. We're going to church. I don't even ask them anymore. I don't even ask. Why ask? We're wasting time. I got a short life. It's ticking away, man. Get in the van. Get in the truck. The other day, about 3 weeks ago, I had a man walk down. I pulled my truck over and I said, hey, look at you walking on Sunday morning. He went, I know, right? I mean, it was his response. I said, yeah, it's sad, ain't it? He goes, yeah. I said, get in the truck. I haven't even told him who I am yet. That crazy man got in the truck. And then I'm thinking, who did I just ask to get in my truck? So now I need one of them wands. Amen. I said, let's go to church. He said, all right. And then we're having a, he goes, what kind of church are we going to? And I said, I hope it's a good one. Amen. My wife's preaching this morning, so you'll enjoy it.
But the commitment of Abraham, notice this, he gave up the ghost. In verse number 8 of Genesis 25, then Abraham gave up the ghost. And I understand right away we say, well, he didn't have an option. But I want to say this, there's no struggle to stay. Because he had spent his whole life looking for a city whose builder is God. He has spent his own whole life rejoicing for the day. Man, at 75, he just started. 75, he just came to Bible college. Can you imagine being in, you're registering, and all of a sudden you turn around, and there's a 75-year-old. You're like, how are you? I'm good. Are you a new professor here? No, I'm a freshman. Man, I'm excited to be here. Could you help me sit down? I'm excited to be here. Wait a minute, you're starting college? Yeah, can't wait to graduate. You realize that's 4 years from now, amen. Abraham, he's getting in it. He spent his whole life saying, God, where do you want me to go next? Where do you want me to go next? Even when his family got in trouble, he goes and fights and bails them out and then gets right back to work. And he gave up the ghost. There's no struggle to stay. You simply releasing and you're simply going because he's committed to God. As I mentioned earlier, my mama went home to heaven in December 29th, and I'll never forget, I have a brother and two sisters, and we all were together there for 16 days. 16 days I watched my mama, and she's had almost 50 surgeries throughout her life, and she was in a lot of pain. One of the best prayer warriors I've ever known. Every Sunday when I'd get done preaching, I'd call my mama, and I'd pull out of the park every Sunday morning. Hey, mama, she said, were you nice today? That's how she would start every conversation. Mama, I tried to be. Be nice to those people, Scott. They voted you in. And they can vote you out. And I was like, well, don't you be talking to them. And she would ask what I preached, and she would ask if anybody was saved. She would ask if anybody got baptized. And we'd have a time of prayer together on the phone. And I remember the four of us were in that room with my mom, and we were all enjoying time. We would sing songs and we would tell stories, of course, and we confessed sins, hoping that, you know, it was a good time to confess some things. Maybe she didn't know that we did. And we were just having a great time because when you're a believer, yeah, we sorrow, but not like those that have no hope. And I remember when I thought Mama had just checked out, I wasn't sure, but I lay down next to her and I said, Mom, this is Scott and I love you. And I said, I'm so jealous, Mama, you're going to get to see Katie before I do. I said, would you do me a favor, Mama? Would you let her know Daddy loves her? And would you let her know I'm coming? And my mom moved her mouth, and she said, I love Katie. I'll tell her. And I said, don't tell me heaven's not real. You see, when Abraham, when it was time, he's 175, full of years, full of days. He's given everything he's got. He has been willing, and I really believe in my mind that he was going to sacrifice his son and God was going to raise him from the dead 3 days later. He has given everything up. So to give up the ghost was no problem because he's fixing to go see that God he has followed all these years, and he's going to see his creator that he has given his life to. And not only did he give up the ghost, but he was gathered to his people. In verse number 8, the Bible continues to read, and he died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his people. Now, it's interesting that he had a daddy that died in Haran. He had a family in Ur, but he was buried in Canaan. Because as a believer, I've got new family. As a believer, I have new loved ones. I mean, if you're saved here today, we're brothers in Christ and brothers and sisters in Christ. And what a blessing it is to know as believers. Isn't it a great thing to know you're saved? Isn't it a great thing to know that you're a believer in Christ? And he was committed. And I close with this. Look at the conclusion of Abraham. The conclusion of Abraham. So my question today is, what will be said when you're gone? Will there have to be an asterisk put next to your name? What will be said about your life? What will be said about my life? Boy, he did really well. She did really well up until... And but by the grace of God, we should always walk circumspectly. We should always walk in fear that we would fall into sin or we would choose the wrong way. But Abraham, he was dedicated, two thoughts. He was dedicated in his worship. Oh, this is so amazing. You know the story with Abraham's life. Everywhere he went, he would pitch a tent for them to abide for those days. But then the Bible says he would build an altar. He was dedicating his worship. If you wanted to find a map as we would trace Paul's journey or as we would trace the children of Israel, I believe if you want to find, hey, where was Abraham at? Well, just look for the altar. See, he had to pick up that tent that he would set up for a little while, but he would build an altar. And I can just imagine everywhere they went, oh, Uncle Abe was here. Oh, wait a minute, he was over there. Hey, everywhere he went, he's building an altar. He's building an altar. We ought to be dedicated in our worship. And I appreciate the wonderful singing here. And I love College Chapel. I taught in college for about 7 years. I love this atmosphere. I love what this is all about. But let me tell you something. You better learn how to take your worship everywhere you go, because there's going to be times you won't have the College Chapel setting. And there's going to be times you don't have the Pastor Chapel and the Dr. Getches and the others to encourage you and to strengthen you and say, hey, we're getting off track a little bit. Let's get back on base. There's going to be times when it's going to be you. There's going to be times. I remember Bible meeting. I was in evangelism for about 12 years with our family, and I remember preaching a meeting where there was 8 there, and 3 of them was me, my wife, and our only son at the time. And I was like, oh boy. And then the pastor there that was starting said, man, I'm a horrible singer, could you lead singing? And I said, well, I'm probably there with you, like, why don't we lead singing? And there's nothing like having 8 and one of them is 3. And my wife looks at me and just smiles like, this is going to be fun. But to me, I don't care if there's 8 there or 8,000. What a chance to preach the gospel. We need to get dedicated to worship. God, help this next generation. What will they know about worship? What will they know what it's like to truly worship God? He was not only dedicating his worship, but his worship was on display. Everyone knew, and I want to ask you this as I close, because summertime is here. Whether you go home for the summer and help your local church, whether you stay here, there's many that'll travel on tour, and I praise God for that. Some are coming to our place, and we'll have a good time and treat you well. But no matter where you go, what will be on display? It's an interesting verse. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 7 says, art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed, look at this, of Abraham thy friend? Can I ask you this as I close? What does the world, what does your family, what do your peers know about heaven because of you? And I'm not talking about the show we put on at a Bible college or conference or special events. I mean, I'm supposed to like carry my Bible now because I'm preaching, you know. I got a Bible. We're supposed to act like preachers and walk like preachers and talk like preachers and do it just right. I'm talking about during the day when you're out of here and no one has a clue. I'm talking about that time when nobody's around. What do they know about heaven because of me? And by the way, what does heaven know about you? What does heaven know about me? Abraham was called a friend of God. I love being saved, don't you? There's nothing greater. My oldest grandson, Emmett, he's 4. Pray for him. He needs Jesus. I love him. Right now, he's the Black Panther, so that's what he's all about. Emmett, the other day, I said, Emmett, why don't you ride with me? And I asked his mama and daddy, and they said, yeah, he can go with you. I said, man, why don't you come with me? We're going to go soul winning. And he said, Papa, I'm Papa G. That's my handle. He said, Papa G, what's soul winning? Get in the truck. We'll talk. So he's in the truck, and he's got his action figures. He's over there having a good time. You know, that's the best soul winning partner in the world. So we're knocking on doors. We made it by 3 doors, and he looked at me and goes, Papa, what are we doing? I said, man, we're soul winning. Whew. I don't like it. I said, well, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I don't like it either. And I'm the pastor, but don't tell anybody. And I said, but just wait, Emmett, just wait. I said, we're going to tell people about Jesus. He said, okay. And you could see that mind working. He's going to tell people. And that, for some reason, that's what clicked. So the very next door, knocked on the door, and I'd given him all the tracks. I said, hey, hold these. And he opened it up. He goes, hey, that's us. I'm like, yeah, just hang on to that track, all right? And you give it to people, we're going to tell them about Jesus. So the very next door, I knocked on the door, a lady came to the door, and her kids were behind her, and I said, how you doing, ma'am? I said, my name's Scott, I pastor the church down the road, and I said, this is my grandson. I said, we're just out visiting people today, and all of a sudden, while I'm doing the introduction, you know, you're supposed to be nice, and you learn all that in personal evangelism, and I'm going through all that, all of a sudden, Emma goes, hey, Papa,
I'm like, hush. Not now. Like, all I can hear is, I got to go potty or something crazy, you know. Papa. And I'm like, and so, ma'am, hang on, son. And so, ma'am, I said, we're out visiting from the, hey, Papa. I said, excuse me, ma'am, because now she's looking. I said, what? You're not telling her about Jesus. Not now. We have to introduce ourselves. Didn't you take personal evangelism? And so she looked at him and she said, tell me about who? He said, Jesus. I said, Emmett. I said, yes, ma'am. I'm, you know, now I'm feeling like Judas, like I'm betraying the faith or something, you know. And here he is, man of faith. He ain't even saved yet, little demon. And so he said, Jesus. And I said, well, yes, ma'am. I said, yeah, that's really why we're here. I said, forget all the other stuff. I said, you know who Jesus is, right? I'm thinking, you're in North Carolina. Like, even our lost people can preach pretty good, you know. They dip, but they preach pretty good. She said, not really. She said, I know I've heard God, I've heard those names, but I said, really? I said, would you like to know about him? She said, yeah, if you don't mind. Oh, I don't mind. I said, Emmett, let's go sit down and talk about Jesus. And then he turns on me. How long are we going to be here? I'm like, tell your mama you died of the smallpox, amen. But to watch that lady trust Christ, and we got down to the end, and I don't carry this Bible. I was like, ma'am, let me show you something from the Word of God, you know. And so I had my New Testament, but as I was holding that New Testament, I said, hey, Emmett, come here, big boy. I said, hold that Bible for them. And I'll tell you, Dr. Hard, nothing thrills your heart anymore than see them little hands holding that Bible while that mama and her babies are putting their hands on that Bible. And you don't have to do all this, but I said, y'all put your hands right there. And I said, listen, you just call, ask God to save you. If you need help, I can help you, but just ask him. You heard all I had to say. You heard what the Bible says. And they all started asking. And I thought about what's going on in heaven right now. I don't know where your walk of faith will take you, but I do know this, if you'll walk by faith. When you stumble, don't stop. We all have failures. Keep walking. You'll never regret it.